Attention everyone, this is an emergency broadcast. The loud frequency coming from your radio is not a mistake. Do not turn off your radio, but instead turn up your radio as loud as it can go. Do this so we can broadcast this frequency as loud as possible.
And welcome to another episode of Game Stuff. I'm your gaming gal, Kalai, and with me today is Roberto. Roberto, it's been some time. How you doing, man?
Pretty good. Happy Halloween, happy Thanksgiving, Merry Christmas, happy holidays, happy Hanukkah, and happy New Year. I think I covered everybody.
For those of you that are new to this podcast, we are a conversational podcast for gamers, by gamers, about gaming. Now, I just want to preference this week's episode. I'm really sorry. I am getting a head cold. So if I sound off, I am so sorry. But the show must go on.
Yes, indeed.
This week's topic of the show, we're actually going to talk about the State of Play and Nintendo's Direct that they had a couple weeks ago. Because we haven't had a chance to touch on this in our show. And we want you, the listeners, to let us know our opinions. Now, before we get started into our topic of the show, Roberto, have you been playing any fun over this little holiday of yours?
Oh yeah, a bunch of stuff that you'll hear over the span of the next few weeks as I come back. And but for the immediate present, well, this cool movie, this cool video game was neat. It was because there's a third movie on the way for this, and they actually just re-released this game. Ghostbusters, the video game remastered.
Oh, yes. Joe and I talked a little bit about this, and he said it's probably going to be bad. Is it any good?
It's great.
Really?
It's rough around the edges from a visual standpoint, and you can tell it came from the early days of the last generation. However, the overall experience is still intact. Things look nicer. The load times could have been much more improved. And honestly, the authenticity of the source material is impeccable, to the point where if you even just like Ghostbusters, you really should get this game. And at $20, it's great.
Well, that's not a bad price point. Now, what about did any of the female Ghostbusters show up in the game?
That can be an entirely different podcast about that. Oh my gosh. So, and then you're telling me, Roberto, I don't want you to go off rails or go deep. I could go into that very much so detail, Kalai. You have no idea. But just, if you have to sum it up, because people are going to ask this, I saw the 16 film. I gave it a chance. It wasn't very good. And I'm very excited for this new one coming out.
That's true.
Yeah.
All right. Let's keep going. What else have you been playing? Anything good? What else?
Evolve PR in Canada actually gave me a key for a game, and I'm going to review this soon, called Sniper Ghost Warrior Contracts.
Is that in the vein of like the Sniper Elite stuff, or is it more towards like a Ghost Recon type of game?
It's its own lineage.
Oh, interesting.
So, on the Xbox 360, when Call of Duty Modern Warfare, the old one, was really popular, this game just popped up on shelves. And it looked generic. It had a guy gillied up, long-barreled sniper rifle, staring into the jungle. Turns out that game sold a million copies. It's the kind of game that you're going in GameStop, and you see all the cool stuff, and you think, oh, this game looks good, but I don't know these people. I don't know this development team. But it's $30, maybe it's good. And you wind up playing it, it's pretty good. There were three other games. The fourth game is Contracts. And it's really, really cool. Think Far Cry.
So you play a sniper, right? Play a sniper?
Yes. So okay. In this particular iteration, you are a mercenary sniper. You're wearing some advanced suit, and you have this cool mask that has like everything built in, infrared communications. And basically, you go around Siberia hunting contracts. And the contracts are kill these really bad, awful people that hurt other people, and you get money. So the thing is, though, each level is like a mini open world. You can tackle objectives in any which way. You have a lot of gizmos and gadgets and weapons to use. You can go in guns blazing. You've got stealth. There's a lot of a lot of constant reward, so it's very, very sharp. I spent maybe 2 hours on the first mission and maybe like an hour and a half on the second mission, and I found it very difficult to put down because I like that constant sense of reward. I mean, certain stealth doesn't hold up. I tried to throw a decoy and that didn't work, and some of the enemies are a little too smart. So I'd recommend if you get this, play this game on easy first. Plus, the game kind of wants you to complete several dozen challenges in each mission. But it's really good. I'd have to say it's definitely one of the more surprise hits of the year, and I hope that the team does well, because these guys made there was a Dark Souls game, Something of the Fallen.
Wait, so this is a remake of a game?
No, it's a fourth installment of its own thing, but the team...
Oh, it's a fourth installment.
Yeah, the team made a game called... what was it? It was... it was Something Fallen. It was like a Dark Souls inspired game where you fight bosses, but it's like Vikings, and it was also really good. It came out of nowhere, and it was good. So I'll have to remember that title later on.
Now, one quick question: what is this game on? Is it just on PS4? Can I get it on other systems?
Right now, yes, PS4, Xbox One, PC, and then also just the triple check for Ghostbusters. You can actually get out of all those platforms and Nintendo Switch, and there's a physical copy available right now.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Anything else you've been playing?
All right. Let's see over here. I revisited some old stuff, you know, Ace Combat 7, Warhammer 40K Inquisitor, because we're still playing that. Oh, and are you a fan of the show Narcos?
No.
Really? You're not?
No, yeah, I don't watch the show, sorry.
Okay. I'd say if you're ever into a cool crime, war on drugs drama, don't miss that. Because that's the... but in any case, maybe our viewers have heard of it. They made a video game based off of it. And it's not a mobile, silly little mobile app game. It's a full-fledged, tactical turn-based game called Narcos Rise of the Cartel.
And it's fun? You're having fun playing it?
Yeah, it's... I will say that if you're a turn-based strategy enthusiast, it has nowhere near the depth of XCOM or Fire Emblem. But it does have those turn-based mechanics. It's easy to pick up. It's not overwhelming. And it can provide, like, you know, a solid challenge. Nothing overwhelming. Nothing that's going to want you make you break your controller. But it's really neat. So in case... just fill you in what Narcos is, it's the show on Netflix. It deals with the war against the Medellin cartel and Pablo Escobar. It takes place in the 1980s in Colombia, and it was one of Netflix's first big original shows. So it was, I loved it. It was authentically shot. They shot on location. The actors, you know, were from Colombia. The story, the narration, the violence. It's really, really good. And I'd highly recommend that if that's your fancy, then definitely check it out. The game is also budgeted price also. I believe it's $19.99 on PS4, Xbox One, and also on Nintendo Switch and PC. I do not believe a physical copy exists, but it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Okay, listeners, I'm just going to apologize now. Both my cats are in here, and Kuma is snoring away like a lumberjack, and my mic might pick him up.
That's my boy. Yeah, so... yeah, Kuma had a pretty cool party last night. I got him a little, for his Christmas gift, I got him little tea bags with catnip, and him and Monami were kind of having a friendly quarrel, I should say.
Yeah, like two kids going after the same present on Christmas Day.
Yeah, yeah. Those tea bags, man.
Back to what you've been playing, anything else?
All right. And then, for the most part, that would be summing it. That would sum things up for now. I mean, there's more games to talk. I mean, probably I can squeeze one more in here, though, so we can get onto the topic of conversation. And that...
What about what I've been playing, too? That would help.
Yeah, of course. Well, you asked that, so let me...
He hasn't recorded it so long, he forgot how to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say the last one I would talk about real, real quick. Demon Pit.
As in armpits?
Sort of. In a sense, metaphorically speaking, yes. Demon Pit it's interesting because this game, no one was going to hear about because Doom was supposed to come out this fall. This game came out, and now, you know, Doom's been delayed to March. And I hope this gives the game breathing room because it's really cool. It's also very, very difficult. Get this. You're in hell. You're in a pit, an arena. Everything tries to kill you.
Is this like a brawler?
Quake-inspired FPS.
Quake-inspired FPS. Interesting.
So you got, like, the big polygonal, like, the gun that has, like, that looks like a rectangle. So, yeah. 60 frames per second, lightning-fast reflexes are requested, no checkpoints, you must survive 60 waves. I only got to wave 12 before I put the farm.
Multiplayer? Can someone help you?
I don't believe so, no. It's single player. Ooh. It's $10. I think it's $10 or $15 on Switch, PS4, PC, Xbox. And it's not bad. I mean, I kind of wish they had checkpoints, but I mean, once I got my groove going and I knew where the enemies were going to be and all that stuff, it was neat. I mean, I got to look up and see if there's a guide how to get to level 60, but it's pretty neat, especially if you're somebody that likes that particular type of kinetic, energetic shooting inspired by, like, you know, Quake and similar games of that type. And yeah, at the behest of going through my entire checklist in September. All right, so what have you been playing the last couple of weeks, Kalai?
How about the last 24 hours?
Okay,
last Cthulhu 24. Saves Christmas. It's from the same makers as Cosmic Star Heroine.
Yep.
And Cthulhu Saves the World. Holy shit, is this game awesome. It comes out on the 23rd, which will mean that it'll be out when this episode does come out. It's an RPG. It only is about 4 to 6 hours. It's going to retail for about $10. It is some of the best humor I've seen in a long time. I mean, I'm in tears with the puns in this game.
Yeah.
But the combat system is interesting. It's got the random encounters, which I know you don't like, correct?
Oh, no, random encounters I'm okay with. I think it's just...
Okay.
Yeah. That might have been with another genre, but in any case... No, yeah, having played Cosmic Star Heroine, and actually revisiting that, actually, right now as we speak, well, so...
It uses the same mechanic where you have to rest, but it adds... There's a meter, and when that meter becomes red, you're going to hit a random encounter. And each area has X amount random encounters. When the counter gets to zero, you have no more random encounters, so you can explore the area. So it encourages you to, like, take out all the guys and then go through what you want to do, get new chest. Mm-hmm. On top of that, after each boss fight, you have to go back to town, and you have to build relationships and do stuff to get, like, equipment. And it's funny. It's just funny seeing Cthulhu dress up as Santa Claus, just saying.
Yeah, yeah. That was, And it's even the original Cosmic Star Heroine had a really strong sense of a personality, little references, puns to things, and it's a great sci-fi RPG, so seeing this is great.
Yeah, and you know what? It just breaks the fourth wall. Just breaks the fourth wall. At one point, you have to fight a rat boss, and there's 7 of them, and Cthulhu's like, yeah, I can only fight 5 of you because of the mechanics of the game. And they're like, what? And they're like, no, well, really, I can only fight 4 of you because I have to fight the cat. And then after you beat them, they say, okay, luckily, due to a glitch in the game's programming, we just beat the entire fight. So it's very meta.
Yeah.
So I highly recommend it.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah, besides that, I mean, I haven't been playing much. I got back into Xenoblade Chronicles, and I got further in that. I actually beat another boss, which made me excited. After the Game Awards, I got really excited about the new Bravely Second that was announced, and I thought, oh, I'm going to go back to Bravely Default 2 or Second.
Right.
Who the hell knows what these naming conventions here at Nintendo? And I was like, why did I stop playing this game? And then I died a million times, and I said, oh, that's why I stopped playing this game. So, like, I've just been kind of hopping around and not doing much. I started Half-Life 2. Because everybody says I need to play that. And with the Alexa coming out, I thought, oh, maybe I should finally start that. And that's been kind of fun. It's a little hard without a map, because I do like a map.
Right, yeah.
And then we've been playing Dying Light on PC with some of our listeners.
Oh, nice, okay.
Bros. And so that's been kind of fun. So if you guys have that game on PC and would like to join us, please let us know. We are arranging times to play.
That's great. Okay.
And I got another platinum football game by Radilac Games.
Yeah, that looked like an interesting one. Tell me about that.
It wasn't that good. It's an easy plat. It's 30 minutes long.
Yeah.
It's a point-and-click game. It was a weird story. I'm not going to spoil it for you. It's about a football player who's trying to go see his girlfriend.
Yeah.
You know, if you're playing Radilac Games for the play value, you could skip this one. If you're playing it for, of course, the trophies, it's an easy trophy.
Right, of course. Like most of them. Except Stay. Stay is the hard one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was there some reason they decided to make that platinum hard? So, but yeah. All right. I mean, once again, probably sounds like something I'll check out and just, you know, for shits and giggles. So.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's go to our topic of the show. So let's start off with the state of play. I didn't actually get to watch it.
Right.
I know Roberto did, so he's going to be able to fill in some of the blanks on this one. So they announced the Resident Evil 3 remake coming April 3rd, 2020. I know a lot of our Resident Evil fans are excited for this, and I'm happy for them. I still have to play Resident Evil. I have 4 on my PC. I'm going to try to play it, I swear.
Right, yeah.
Babylon's Fall was announced.
Yeah, that one looked pretty interesting. I mean, that looked like a kind of a... That's from the guys that made Nier Automata Platinum Games, and it looks like it's going to be like something similar in that vein, but more in a fantasy universe. I still have to play Nier Automata, but I have had experience with Vanquish stuff. Well, I should say Platinum Game stuff. Like, and these guys, I like to describe them as the Studio Trigger of video games. If you've ever, I mean, that's an anime studio that made game shows like Kill la Kill, Gurren Lagann, and so on, and Promare. That's what these guys are. They know kinetic action that's challenging, and even it beats you up, but you want to keep getting at it again and again and again. So, and I still need to play Nier Automata. I mean, I'm thinking that with things kind of stabilizing and with the year ending and maybe having a little more time, I'm probably going to take advantage of what I can and just get started on that, because I heard that was such a beautiful game and what it was able to accomplish is mesmerizing. So, anyways, excuse me, move on.
Predator Hunting Grounds, April 24th, 2020. Weren't you excited about that game?
Yes, because I played that personally. Because I played that at us in PAX West. I think it's going to be pretty cool. I'm hoping that it gets enough visibility to where it can have like legs of a multiplayer community, because the last time I played an AVP game with that I thought was going to have legs, it didn't. That was the AVP game in 2010. It was very, very good, but I don't know, just the multiplayer drive. This one looks pretty neat, including very kind of weird and also just, but intriguingly weird, including a female predator, which I didn't think they existed, but okay. that would be pretty cool to see how that plays into all this, and it looks really neat. You know, it's like, I like the asymmetrical multiplayer. I appreciate the fact that playing as the Predator is going to be very different from playing as a regular soldier. I had a good time playing that in Seattle, and I think that it's going to be pretty wicked to see when it finally arrives in April. So I'll probably be pre-ordering that one.
Okay, cool. Next, they announced Untitled Goose Game came to PS4 on December 17th.
I haven't picked it up yet.
It's on Game Pass, so if you have Game Pass and you want to check it out, you can totally do that, which yeah. I think I am.
Did you have a chance to play it?
No, I haven't had a chance to play it. I've just been so busy.
Okay. We'll have to share our thoughts on that later on.
Yes. Dreams has a release date, finally, of February 14th, 2020, so I guess if you want to give your loved ones the game for Valentine's Day?
Right. So that one... Dreams has been in beta for a long time, and I've seen people create entire games. Like, somebody created a Dead Space game, complete with, like, there's a scene in the first game where you get to look at the planet below, and it's like you're on the Ishimuro, and it's like you're in the vacuum of space, but you're still in the ship. Somebody made that. And I'm just like, how do you do this? How is it possible that you're able to do this? If I mean... I would love to be able to like kind of make my own interpretation of Colony Wars, because that was one of my favorite games growing up. So it looks interesting. I don't know what else to make of it, except it looks like you're going to literally be making your own fantasy games and fantasies in general. So we'll have to wait and see how the whole thing transpires.
Yeah, there's a lot of hype about this game. I mean, I don't like making things. I have no creativity whatsoever.
Yeah.
After that, they announced Spellbreaker.
That looks cool. I mean, it's another MOBA, it looks like. And
yeah, I'm not a MOBA fan.
Right, and it's going to be hard for that to compete next year because, as you know, League of Legends is making its way to the console system. So, that's a lot. That's a big pendulum to swing. So I will say that there are niches and communities that do form. I mean, right now, Hi-Rez Studios has Paladins, and they also have Smite. Smite is basically a MOBA, and a lot of people appreciate that one, and that has a really strong community. I kind of wish it had single player, though, because, you know, the characters are really cool looking and stuff, and they don't really have stories. But in any case, pardon me. I think that's going to be an interesting thing to see.
Next is Perception is Reality Superliminal.
Yeah, I heard that was a pretty neat first-person puzzle game experience and really kind of using, like, optical illusions. It definitely looks unique.
That's cool.
I do want to play more puzzle stuff and more, like, that type of thing. Like, there was a game called The Bridge on the Vita, and I played that, and I was like, okay, this is really cool. And it uses these, oh my god, these surreal illustrations to manipulate what's up and down. And I found myself really enjoying that one day when I played it on the Vita. So, maybe this one will be pretty neat to see in April.
And then the last thing announced was the Paper Beast, Explore a Dreamlike Ecosystem in VR.
Yeah. Paper Beast, also, you know, really neat. I do appreciate the highlight of this particular indie of going through the air and solving puzzles and obstacles and things like that through this unique world of paper. So it kind of reminds me of Tearaway. Like, Tearaway I really enjoyed because it took the platforming of having the, you know, and the simplicity of construction paper and things that we, you know, that we create growing up and turned that into a full-fledged game. That I finished on the Vita this year, and I'm proud of myself for doing so. So then it kind of reminds me of that, you know, like something simple and unique and strange and surreal, but ultimately intriguing. And definitely something to see next year.
Okay, let's hop over to the Nintendo Direct.
Right.
So we had Golf Story 2 is called Sports Story. They have a sequel to their game. I'm a little excited about this.
Yeah.
I liked Golf Story.
Yeah, I remember you at... That was one of your first big games that you really enjoyed when the Switch was announced. Launched and going. Yeah, I heard a lot of great things. A lot of people said a lot of positive things about that particular game.
They announced Axiom Verge sequel, which a lot of people are excited about. I'm excited. I got to finish Axiom Verge.
Same. But I'm really happy because that game, when it came out, really transformed sci-fi and Metroidvanias, and it was like a celebration of that medium. So how far along are you in Axiom Verge?
I'm pretty far. I keep getting stuck because I'm terrible at Metroidvanias, but I'm trying to get better.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not discounting the genre.
I think I got the third boss and I got lost.
Yeah, that's about what happens with Metroidvanias.
Yeah.
After that, Streets of Rage 4.
Mm-hmm.
Which a lot of people are excited about.
Yeah. I'm going back to PAX East this year. I will hopefully be able to get a hold of playing it for once. Because like, I've been trying to hunt this one down, and every single time, there's a long line. But, and I understand. It's one of the coolest brawlers ever. And very innovative for its music, its design, its direction. So to see it coming back is phenomenal.
After that is Gleamlight. Do you know anything about that one?
Gleam what?
Gleamlight.
Gleamlights. Gleamlight. That sounds like an RPG. Yeah. Oh, okay. It's a 2D. Oh, wait. I looked it up. 2D action game. You're traversing a beautiful transient world. Beautiful stained. Oh, yeah. That's one. Okay. That's now I remember now. This is the one that has beautiful stained glass and things like that. So it has a really. It looks neat. Definitely something I personally would play. Be kind of weird to make an action game that's going to be all glass because, like, you know, glass breaks easy. But hey, you know, that's the thing about video games. Imagination is boundless. So, yeah, I'm looking at it right now, early 2020. It's looking really good.
Next is Bacon Switch, which is a brawler co-op.
Bacon Switch. Bake.
B-A-K-E. Yeah.
B-A-K-E. Bake and Switch. Because you know what? The game I have in my mind... Oh, now I see it. The game I have in my mind is the... there's that one where you're going to be able to mix genres together.
That's next.
Yeah.
That's next. Yeah. So that's not this one. Yeah.
Yeah. Bake and Switch. It looks good. I mean...
It looks interesting, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's a co-op and PvP game. Doe creatures are sacrificed to guardians of Doe, work as a team. Up to four players sabotage each other or combine and team up. It's a... The tagline, it's a breadful task. As in, get it, breadful as in dreadful, so...
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
The next one is Super Mash, which is what you were talking about. You get to pick two genres and mash them together. This sounds interesting.
Yeah, yeah, that because and there's a lot of ideas... Is it going to be just little games that last like an hour, or are they going to be full-fledged games like that can last several hours? Is it that like when you mix and match, like, I mean, some of the ideas that were there, the like turn-based games and shmups and action and platformers, like, I was really digging it. I got to say, like, I'm really, I mean, and actually the studio behind that is actually based in New York. I forgot the name of the studio, but they were responsible for making No More Robots or... Next Up Hero or something like that, or one of the two games. So it looks really good. I think it's going to be a really neat experience to have.
The next they announced, the Talos Principle Deluxe Edition was released December 10th, 2019. I've never played the Talos Principle.
Talos Principle, I mean, I got that game on PS4 and I still haven't played it. But it's supposedly, it's a game that was so immersive and intriguing that it nearly robbed the Game of the Year awards that year.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of websites were like, this game's so good that we nearly had to redo our whole list for Game of the Years or best games of 2014, I believe the original came out, or 15. So it looks neat, you know, definitely. I mean, it looks weird, you know, but I dig the setting that you're a robot and you're trying to figure out humans and things like that, and you're going through this maze, so it looks definitely...
The next one that was announced, I'm sure you're excited about, Roberto, Sail Forth. It's a naval 3D action game.
That, I believe, I played at PAX West as well.
Was it good?
Yeah, it was neat, because you got to... It was simple, but it was engaging, and I regrettably I don't remember too much of the demo at this point, but I remember that it was like it was easy to be able to navigate. It was easy to be able to combat, you know, pirates, and also deal with the changing of the waves and the ocean action. And I think it was procedurally generated.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's like so. It was a pretty intriguing game at that moment.
After that, Dauntless was released on the Switch on December 10th, 2019. I'm not a fan of Dauntless. I did get a chance to play this game at PAX East. It is in the style of Monster Hunter, which I'm a huge fan of. I just think that Monster Hunter has a lot more to offer. Dauntless, however, is free to play, so you can go pick it up in your Switch right now.
And to add to that, I believe that if you have Dauntless on PC... PS4 or Xbox One, you have a unified server. So I believe that progress is shared throughout.
And it's cross-play.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
I figured, yeah.
That. Yeah, so...
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what the developer wanted to do. They said, back at PAX East this year, they said, we're going to release it on PS4. Our aim is to have it on Switch by the end of 2019, so that way we can have a one big unified play with the crossplay. Also, you can play on your mobile devices, and I think iPads as well. So, it's pretty neat. I mean, I haven't played it in a while, but I think it's a pretty neat concept. I mean, I'll have to try and see if I can play a little bit today on PS4 and then see if I can try and squeeze in some time tomorrow or during the week for Switch.
Next is Murder by Numbers. This is a part visual and part Picross game, which I find very interesting. I'm not a Picross person, but this might be fun because of the visual novel aspect.
Yeah, Murder by Numbers. I will say that I'm starting to see more games that lean into... They want to try and change the interaction of the story, but keep the gameplay unique or distinctive or flowing with that narrative. So it looks pretty neat. I mean, I think that it might. It's definitely something that's going to take some getting used to with the fact that, you know, it has that Picross aspect, but at the same time, the story looks really neat. I mean, I saw the illustrations. I said to myself, okay, this looks like something I would definitely play and try and see about the story. Especially, it takes place in 1996, and there's a whole, like, that's a whole other world when you think about it. So, when it comes to murder mysteries and the action and comedy and things like that, so it should be neat.
The next game is Oddworld Stranger's Wrath.
Yes, I believe this was released, if I'm not mistaken, on just about everything. And then it's coming to this, and I think it's nice that the Oddworld brand is going to make its way to Switch, so...
Thinking that. I've never really played the Oddworld series, but same. There is a lot of people who did, so this is a good leap for them.
Right. I agree.
Next is Liberated, which I kind of am interested in. It's a cyberpunk visual novel with interactive parts.
That I've played at PAX East and West. It looks very good. It has the visual novels and it has voice acting. The combat's pretty neat. And the only thing is, like, I think that you're going to have to play, like, in a darker room because it has, like, that grayscale style and things like that, like, different, like, shades of that. However, that design helps create that really kind of interesting dread of a dystopia, because you're in, like, basically, a George Orwell 1984 Big Brother type thing. And you're like, there's different lives, and there's like the rebels, there's this one reporter, there's another thing, like there's different lives that intersect in this game. And I think that that's going to be very intriguing. I played the demo and I liked it back in West.
Okay, the next, I saw the game, I haven't had a chance to play it, I don't even think they had a playable demo, but I really want this game, and the fact that it's going to be on the Switch is even more amazing. Boyfriend Dungeon. Your weapons can transform into boyfriends.
I heard that was a lot of fun. It's wild, it's crazy, it's cool. I mean, it's something I probably would play too, just because of the weird nature of it all. So, you know, it's. I heard that, I think, launched on the PC. It hasn't been on any other systems yet, and I've heard nothing but good things.
The next game announced is Dreamscape. This is where you get to explore a dungeon when you go to sleep, and the dungeon is affected by the friendships you make when you're awake.
Oh, okay.
Right? Isn't that sound a little interesting?
Yeah, because there's been a lot of topic of discussion about human interaction and how that affects us, of course, when our minds switch from being social with other people to just being in our own world, and what we think and how we think, and especially in this day and age with the internet and things like that, and how things can be interpreted and misinterpreted. So, and you know, the topic of, you know, friendships, anxiety, that type of thing, that could make for a very interesting narrative, in my opinion. I think that would be very, that sounds like something really, really cool. That sounds like, they say it's a Binding of Isaac style hack and slash. It'll be $20 according to just looking it up here. So it looks neat. You know, I definitely think that'll be fascinating and hopefully spark a conversation about that kind of narrative.
And the last game is from the makers of The Escapist, which is the survivalist. It's you have to survive on a desert island, I believe.
Right, and then the there's an indigenous population or, you know, that want to kind of get you. So it looks nice. It looks cool. I mean, there was some flack about it, at least on the larger internet circles because of it, you know, of the depictions of things. But I think it's just harking back to 80s and 90s, Lost on an Island, what do you do, how do you survive, that type of thing. So it looks kind of cool, you know, and I like how you have to construct your base as well. And it's from the guys that made The Escapists, which was a very good prison escape and stuff like that. I think it's going to be pretty neat.
So both of these companies had directs and state of plays within about a week of each other. Who do you think had the better presentation, PlayStation or Nintendo?
I think definitely, like, Nintendo definitely brought it with some of the lesser-known games, the indies, things like that. PlayStation was like, this felt like, you know, kind of a reminder that we're still here, we're still churning out stuff, and we've got things in store for next year. I mean, I do remember and do miss when they dedicated a lot more time to indies, and they do, but it's normally on the PlayStation blog and not really, like, on a video like that. Nintendo, I appreciate that they do what they do, and they really try and get a lot of these indies, and they give them a lot more clout and visibility and things like that. So, that being said, I think Nintendo had the better overall presentation, but I'm nonetheless excited for PlayStation stuff as well.
Yeah, I'm more excited for the Nintendo stuff. I think they really did bring it with announcing Axiom Verge 2, the Talos Principle is now out. You know, giving you stuff that is here it is now. Oh, and here's what's coming into the future.
Right, exactly.
So, I do agree with you. I think Nintendo did have the better presentation. So
yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens in this next year, this next decade, because we're getting new systems. We have games that are kind of concluding and segueing into these next gen systems, and while these systems still hold on, and it's going to be a whole new ball game in next year. And then, not to mention, also, what will Nintendo do? Will it stay the course with its system? Will it just expand into making more games? Will indies be like the big leverage of things? You know, for and then they try and like sprinkle some of the big exclusives. So there's a lot to go about here. So it'll be interesting. And then with PAX East in February this year, well, next year I should say. We're going to find out, get some answers. Yeah, we're going to get some answers real soon.
Yeah, so. Mm-hmm. Thank you, everybody, for listening. That will bring us to the closing of our show. You can absolutely find us on Twitter at GameStuffCast. If you like us, please subscribe and rate us. Our Facebook is GameStuff Podcast. Ask for invite. Come join us. I'm on Twitter at Kali21. You can find me in the Facebook group. You can find Roberto on Twitter at Jehu88. That's
J-E-H-U-T-Y-88.
Yes. And he does do stuff for Stack Up. He will be posting his articles in our Facebook group. And we'll try to post them also to our Twitter account for you guys to read, because he is an amazing writer and he does play a lot of games.
Thanks. And I also... I'm writing for another website as well called Marooners Rock. They they're a site of video game enthusiasts. They review everything, and they also talk about movies as well. They have a couple podcasts, and they have a retro group called Forever 105. They talk about retro games. So I'll be giving them some single boosts and trying to write for them and share within our group as well. So they're pretty cool. A lot of their guys have actually gone on to write for bigger websites like IGN and things like that. So, and they will be at PAX East. So, single boosting for them. But yeah, you will definitely be seeing more articles from me on the Facebook group for Game Stuff Podcast.
We are sponsored by Amazon. Just go to provengamer.com, click on any Amazon link, and do your shopping like normal. It does help us out. We are also sponsored. We have also partnered with Humble Bundle for our charity, which is Extra Life. You can follow the link in our show notes. Head over there, buy cheap PC games. They're having sales right now, and you know it does go to help the children. If you like this show, check out our flagship show, Trophy Horse. And also, we have the PG Spoilers that shows up from time to time. I also want to thank Isaac Sago. You can check out his work in my show notes. He did our logo. And, of course, the band Take Away the Ugly for our music. So, thank you, guys. I also would like to thank the users. This is going to be released on the 24th, which is the day before Christmas. So, Merry Christmas to everybody. I hope everybody gets what they want.
Yep, same here. Merry Christmas, everybody. Happy holidays. Hope if you're Jewish, happy Hanukkah. If you have Kwanzaa, happy Kwanzaa. All the holidays. So, well, warm wishes to you and your families out there.
So, thank you for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode of Game Stuff.
And may the Force be with you. See you next time. Take care. We'll be right back.